Welcome to Finding God's Grace with Catholic storyteller, author, and Hall of Fame broadcaster Tony Agnese. Join Tony and his guests as they share experiences of God's extraordinary grace in their lives. Now, here's your host, Tony Agnese.
Hi, this is Tony Agnese. Welcome to this edition of Finding God's Grace. We've got a couple of great interviews for you. We're going to be talking first with Nancy Ward. Nancy is from joyalive.net, and she's a Catholic author and editor and a blogger. We're going to be talking about conversion stories. Nancy Ward will share her conversion story with us and talk about how you can share yours as well. And we'll be talking about a conference coming up in March that's kind of an interesting conference for moms because it's an online conference. You don't have to fly anywhere to attend. There are 24 great speakers, Marge included, and that'll all be online at CatholicConference4mom.com. So we'll be talking with Nancy Ward about conversion stories, and we'll be talking with her about this great Catholic conference for moms that's coming up in March. Then we'll be joined in the second half of the show by Phyllis Zagano. Phyllis is an author of the book Sacred Silence, Meditations for Lent. If your Lenten practices consist of doing the same old things you've always done and you're looking for something different, something a little bit new, this book might be just the book for you. Phyllis Zagano is a noted Catholic scholar and speaker and is a senior research associate in residence and adjunct professor of religion at Hofstra University. She's the author of over 15 books. That's our guest for today, and I'll have commentary on Lent, podcast called There's Power in Those Ashes. That's all coming up on this edition of Finding God's Grace. Nancy Ward is a writer and blogger at joyalive.net. Her articles have appeared in magazines, and we're going to talk to Nancy about faith stories, your journey, your conversion story, and we're going to talk a little bit about a conference coming up later in March that might be of interest to Catholic moms everywhere. It's an online conference and kind of a new approach to things. Nancy Ward is my guest. Nancy, welcome. It's great to have you with us here on Finding God's Grace.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be here.
We might as well. I wanted to begin by saying that Nancy and I both have written for Shalom Tidings magazine, and if people are unaware of that magazine, it's a charismatic magazine from, I think they're from the state of Texas, right?
They are. They do have, yes. They publish the United States version here, yes.
Mm-hmm. And very, very interesting stuff. You know, we talk about conversion stories. One of the things that I like to do on the show and have done with a lot of the guests is, you know, how you got to where you are today. You know, we talk to a lot of people who are very strong, very solid Catholics. And obviously, everyone has a story, and that's what you and I are going to spend a little time talking about today. What goes into a conversion story?
I believe that every conversion story has three components, as mine does.
Mm-hmm.
First component is who you were before your conversion happened. The second is, like, what was it that happened to change you? What was that decisive moment? And the third is who you are now. I mean, it's very simple, one, two, three, as far as how that change happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to go into a long a biography of all your experiences. If you just put those three elements down, then you can fill in the blanks.
Now, for some people, there's a thunderbolt kind of defining moment. For others, it's kind of a more of a gradual conversion, correct?
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about your story, and I'm just going to ask you those questions. Who were you before you were Nancy Ward we know today?
Well, I was a faithful Protestant who had been baptized as an infant in the Protestant church, and I committed my life to God when I was 15, but was very quiet about it. And when my father died when I was 18, God was the only one there really that I felt was comforting me. So just before my opportunity for conversion, I was 19 years old. I was living at home and going to college across town. I was very close to the pastor and staff at my Protestant church because I'd volunteered for everything during my teenage years, and I even worked in the office after high school.
Mm-hmm. What happened then? What happened to change that? It seems like a pretty pretty good life to me.
Well, I thought I was all set. I'm just looking for that guy that would fit the bill that I could marry in my church and be happily ever after. But for me, you talked about the thunderbolt. It was the thunderbolt of love. And then it was followed by, later on, was the gradual awakening of, you know, what God's will was. I met my husband, now husband Phil, in college. And actually, I loved him before he realized I was the one for him.
Mm-hmm.
And we dated quite a couple of years and we were falling deeply in love. But, you know, I wanted a man with a strong faith. And Phil had that strong faith, but he was a Catholic.
Oh, my goodness.
And that just didn't go over too well with our family. So before he even proposed, I had to decide, could I marry in his church, or maybe I should just move on?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a decision was, could I live without Phil or without my church family?
And that, you know what, and for someone who has a very strong a faith that has to and is really tied to a particular church community and is involved as you were, you know, volunteering for everything, that's got to be a very difficult decision.
It really was. And my older sister had eloped, and so my mother had my wedding all planned for years. So one day I just thought, how would I ever tell my mother that all of our plans for my wedding might not happen? And then I realized I'd made my choice because I was worried about how to tell her. But, you know, Tony, I wasn't choosing Phil over God. I was choosing him over my dream of marrying a Protestant in the church that I loved. So everything changed in my life except my relationship with God. That's what held steady.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the fact that he was a strong Catholic, strong Christian, nothing really changed with your relationship with God, but it just became now, is this church community or is my thunderbolt love for Phil more important? Is that how that came down?
That's exactly right. And I wasn't going to just automatically convert, you know, to the Catholic Church because I loved him, for love of him. I knew in my heart that worshiping God, you know, was between me and God. And so I had to get that settled, and then we became engaged.
And when you got married, was it in your church, his church, or how did that go?
No, it was in the cathedral. This was before RCIA. Mm-hmm. And in those days, the priest gave you six instructions before, and you were married in the cathedral, but without Mass.
Mm-hmm.
But both our families were thought it was great. His mother was Catholic and his father wasn't. And my mother was widowed. And so, but she was fine with it. I mean, they loved Phil so much. That was fine.
Mm-hmm.
they loved him.
And my father was Methodist. My mom was Catholic. And mm-hmm. and there was always that how are you going to raise the kids and, you know, all of those things that come out of marriages like that, but it obviously worked pretty well with my family, at least. So then what happened? So you get married. It was not a Mass, but you get married in the cathedral. And then was there another aha moment?
Well, you see, in those days, the men were required to do military service. So we'd been married 3 or 4 months, and so we went off into the service. So I was away from my Protestant church, my family. And so I spent more than 2 years, I thought, well, I'll try out the disciplines of the Catholic Church. So I didn't go to any other church but the Catholic Church. So I tried, you know, they had meatless Fridays, and the Latin Mass was still in, so I tried all that out. So we were stationed at three different places. And I noticed that this universal church had this consistency of the liturgies, and the instructions I took from three different priests was so consistent. I like that. I like that very much. Anyway, at the last place we were stationed, the priest says, he said to me, I'll never forget this. He said, Nancy, you know enough to become a Catholic. When you get home, have the priest who married you baptize you. So I had this peace in my heart, and so I knew that I was ready to commit to worship in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened when we got home from the service. The priest that married us heard my first confession. I got the all three things in one day.
That's great. Now, your husband, how was he along this journey? Was he pressuring you, or was he giving you space? How did he react then to your becoming baptized and receiving First Communion?
Well, he was thrilled, but he tried to convince me with logical arguments, and that wasn't what I needed. I could understand a lot of it, you know, most of the reasoning of it, but I didn't feel like I belonged there. So I had to, and going to one church to another, I had to feel like I belonged in that church, because that was very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I finally got to that point where I felt like I belonged in the Catholic Church.
My guest is a writer and speaker, Nancy Ward, and Nancy Ward has a great website called joyalive.net, and she also works with the Catholic Writers Guild and other things we'll talk about in just a minute. But where are you now, then? Where are you now, Nancy?
Oh, we are in a great place. We have raised all our children in the Catholic Church. They've all married in the Catholic Church. We are in a wonderful parish, and we're also in a covenant community where we do a lot of different ministries there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, later on, what happened was we went after we got back from the service, and then we went to Boston for 3 years when my husband went to MIT,
mm-hmm.
and we found this parish that was so beautiful. We just sort of got a hint of this liturgy come alive that we had not really seen before. But we moved back to Dallas. We couldn't find that kind of parish atmosphere. The parish we were in just seemed dead. We were just dragging ourselves to Mass with our children every Sunday, and we had a really difficult time with our relationships during that time, because we just didn't feel like we weren't close to the Lord at all.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, to get away, he went to a men's retreat just to kind of get away, get some peace. And he heard about this prayer meeting on Sunday afternoons across town. But he heard that they had these strange ways to worship, and that just seemed too Protestant for him, being a cradle Catholic. And
mm-hmm.
he checked it out, you know, and I was just really too busy on Sunday afternoons to bother with it. But he saw these priests and nuns singing and worshiping the Lord with women and children and the laymen, and he thought he better go back, and I wanted me to go with him and check this out. I hesitated, but once I got there, I really loved the music, and the people were so helpful and loving. So we started going to the prayer meetings every Sunday for quite a few months, and after a few weeks of praise and worship, we took a Life in the Spirit seminar.
Mm-hmm.
The leaders prayed over us individually. They prayed for us for a new infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it seemed like our faith just became so alive again. It seemed to me like it was like a tornado of emotions that swirled around us. And we landed in a place where we gave our lives to the Lord. And it just seemed like a new way of life opened before us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we realized that God loved us just the way we are, as no one else ever can. And we felt his love swell up from within us and surround us with loving friends. It was kind of like that scene in The Wizard of Oz. This is the way I think about it in my mind. You know, where the tornado sets Annie M's farmhouse down,
mm-hmm.
and Dorothy wakes up. Do you remember that scene?
I sure do.
As she opens the door to Oz, the scene slowly changes from black and white to technicolor. Everything is brilliant. Dorothy experiences this new life that she never imagined. Well, that's what happened to me. That's how I think about this renewal experience.
I often think sometimes, Nancy, that you know, you look at life in kind of soft focus, and all of a sudden the focus becomes very clear and very sharp. I know in some of the materials you sent, you mentioned not only Life in the Spirit, but the Curcio movement that I was involved with back in the 1970s as well. And some of those movements, a lot of which that came after Vatican II, I found that I meet a lot of people who really came to a better understanding of their faith through Curcio or through Christ Renews His Parish or Life in the Spirit, and I wonder why some of those programs aren't as robust as they are today as they were back then?
In our case, when we joined this covenant community, it was the only thing in town. There was Crecillo, but there was no parish prayer groups. There was nothing like that. And so there were hundreds of people that were hungry for this type of relationship with God. And so we filled up this high school gym with hundreds of people every Sunday afternoon. It was just an amazing thing. Well, now we still, that was more than 35 years ago. Now we don't fill up the gym, but a lot of our people have gone out and started prayer meetings in the different parishes. So you don't have to go to one central location anymore. There's lots and lots of renewal movements that, like you say, Christ Renews His Church. We have Acts in Texas that I don't think too many other people have. We have all kinds of Bible studies, and there's just so much more now.
More now, people, right.
To renew their faith than there was in those days.
Nancy Ward is my guest. We're talking about conversion and conversion stories. We're going to talk to Nancy about how you can frame your own conversion story. And I know you're a collector of those, of conversion stories, Nancy. You've got some exciting things to talk about. And then I want to talk about your writing and how that all came about and how you got started with that. And we're going to do that with our guest, Nancy Ward, when we return on Finding God's Grace.